The following shiur has been presented by Rav Ari Marburger, Dayan at Beis Din Meisharim and author of Business Halacha, and has been brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center.
To dedicate a daf, a perik, or an entire masechta, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Bava Metzia Samach Tes.
The Gemara introduces a new concept in Hilchos Ribbis. Although typically Ribbis involves a loan or some sort of debt, here the Gemara explains that in the sugya of Igra that if a person leases an item and he accepts all responsibility for any loss, any damage, any decrease in value, the lease itself is considered Ribbis. Again, there's no loan, there's no Hamtanas Mois in the classic sense of the word. However, since the person renting the item takes full responsibility, he's going to pay back the full value that he received no matter what, that is looked at as a loan, and any of the rental payments are looked at as ribbis. Now, in a practical sense, this is quite uncommon. Even a triple net lease, where the tenant assumes most liability for the premises, still normal wear and tear are usually excluded, and therefore it's not an issue. The tenant, although he's paying rent, and although he is accepting liability that if it burns down or if there is any major damage, he's going to repair it, the landlord is still liable or accepts the normal wear and tear of the premises. Besides which, if there's any decrease in the market value, that's clearly the landlord's loss, not the tenant's loss, and therefore, there's absolutely nothing wrong with a triple net lease. The only case I'm aware of, which is perhaps a shaila, is a ground lease where the tenant accepts all liability for everything. That, perhaps, is a problem. Interestingly, it's probably a machlekes Rama and Mechaber, because although in a ground lease the tenant has all liability for any loss and the premises has to be returned exactly how he received it, however, he's still not liable for any decrease in the market value of the item. Therefore, perhaps according to the Mechaber, it would be permitted. According to the Rama, it would be problematic. Again, regardless, this is not a common scenario, but it is halacha to be aware of.
There is, however, one interesting application that people should be aware of. When people want to borrow money, and particularly when they're trying to finance the purchase of real estate, they really have two options when they're dealing with another yid. The first option is to execute a heter iska. And as we'll explain in another shiurim how that works, a heter iska changes the nature of the relationship. The money received is not being loaned, it's not being borrowed, it's an investment, and there's a concept of a heter iska. However, there are cases where a heter iska is not appropriate. There are cases where the borrower is not investing the money and has no other investments to write the heter iska on. There are other cases where the lender is involved in the borrower's business, he has first-hand direct knowledge. And as we'll see when we learn through the concept of heter iska, that can create problems. For these situations, the Igros Maisha suggests an alternative. The person is buying a property. And someone's going to finance the purchase. Instead of executing that heter iska, Rav Maisha suggests you can write a rent-to-own agreement or a sale-lease agreement. And essentially what you do is as follows. The seller, instead of selling the entire property and creating heter iska on the monies that are due on the purchase price, the seller tells the buyer like this. You're willing to put down 20% of the purchase price. Give me that money today, and I'm going to sell you 20% of the property. And we'll be partners. You own 20%, I'll own 80%. We're then going to enter into a long-term sale and lease agreement. And what we're going to do is like this. You're going to be using the property from now on, from the time of the, we'll call it a closing. Now, either you're going to live in it yourself, or you're going to sublet it to other people. You're really using my property. I own 80% of the property. What I'm willing to do is I'm willing to lease it to you. I'm going to lease it for, say, the next 30 years to you at this price. Now, this lease, we're going to include all taxes, all utilities, all maintenance, all the costs associated with the property, plus the amount of interest you would have had to pay if you took out a mortgage. That's the lease end of the transaction. Besides for the lease, they also enter into a sale agreement that over the next 30 years, again, whatever the life of the mortgage was supposed to be, the owner is going to slowly sell the property to the buyer. Each month, he's going to sell a little bit of the property. What results is a situation where every month the borrower makes, or the buyer makes, two payments. A principal payment, in which he's slowly buying out the entire property, the 80% that he doesn't already own. Now, that happens month by month, makes a small payment each month, he's slowly purchasing it, until at the end of the 30 years, until the end of the term of the mortgage, he will own the entire property. The second payment that's made is a lease payment. Every month he pays rent on the part of the property that he does not yet own. Now, as time goes on, the component of these payments change. Every month he owns a little bit more of the property, and therefore every month the rent on the portion that he doesn't yet own becomes less and less, because more and more of the property belongs to him, and obviously he doesn't pay rent on the property that he owns. So what you'll end up with the situation is you'll end up with the same exact payments that you would have with a mortgage, with an amortization schedule, where the principal is paid over 30 years, and in our case, the payment is in order to buy the remaining 80% of the property, and the amounts, the equivalent of interest, is being paid over 30 years, but it's being done not as interest on a loan, but it's rental payments on the portion of the property that do not yet belong to the buyer. Now, this is the suggestion of the Igros Moshe. Now, it's a beautiful suggestion. It avoids a loan completely. There's no lender-borrower relationship between the parties. It's simply a landlord-tenant-buyer-seller relationship. And therefore, you avoid the problems of Heteriskoa. You avoid various Avak Ribis problems that can come up. And it's a beautiful etza. However, the Minchas Yitzchok points out that there's a problem. And the problem is our sugya. We've learned that even a tenant, if he accepts full responsibility for the item, that's ribbis. So the Minchas Yitzchok argues that in our case, where the tenant has entered into a long-term sale agreement and purchase agreement, where he's locked in to buy the house at a set price, at the full value, no matter what happens to the house physically, or no matter what happens to the market value of the house, then it should be also. And again, although there's no loan, although it's simply a tenant, since the tenant has all risk and all liability associated with the property, there, the Minchas Yitzchok argues, this would be usur and there would be a problem. Now, there are really two points that need to be made. Rav Moshe doesn't address this issue directly, but it could be Rav Moshe's shita was that since in this case, the tenant is not really accepting liability for a decrease in market value. As far as his lease is concerned, the lease has nothing to do with market value, there's no liability. He's entering into a purchase agreement where he's going to buy the property over time. That's not a kabbalas achrayas, that's simply an agreement to purchase something, and perhaps the shita of the Igros Moshe was, this problem will not apply. Regardless, there's a very simple etza to avoid the problem altogether. And that is, you can include in the sale-lease agreement that the tenant is not responsible for any damage due to fire or theft or anything like that. You shift that responsibility to the owner, to the seller. But you can force the buyer to take out insurance. He can pay the premiums and the insurance will be for the benefit of the seller. And therefore, although in theory, as far as this arrangement is concerned, the seller has achrayas for fire or for various einsin, as a matter of practice, He's fairly secure because he's, as part of the rent, he's going to end up with an insurance policy that should cover any loss. If for some reason there is a fire, there is something, and the insurance refuses to cover, the loss will go to the seller. It'll go to the original homeowner. However, that risk is fairly minimal, and people are generally okay in accepting it.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.